trying to eat for him.
Let's say
I'm told that the CFO is also here today, and then we would like to make some kind that maybe they should be prepared for the CFO to give an opportunity to talk to them. But because there are new members present here, I will just, as we normally do, originally just go through the list, introducing ourselves, so as that we know who is here. We know each other. I'm A.P. Sibanyoni, and then I'm thankful for having complimented me, which is the president of the
Dr. Matolo Tseka, the man who has just been in, welcomed. Gabriel Nabondawa, member of Justice.
Dean Spass, a member of the Justice Committee.
Steve Swart is a member of the Justice
Committee.
Officer?
James Cortana,
Department of Justice. Well, now the Department of Justice, you decided to be with us. Keith Holland, Department of Justice. Hi, I'm Cherie Fryer. I'm from Legislative
Coding. I'm on behalf of the Office of the CFO. Thank you, Chairperson. Last year, Legislative Development. Thank you.
Just have some basic role, giving the professor. Can you introduce yourself, please?
She's not a local committee of students. Cutting Fullstone County Designer. Jelena Spitt Researcher.
Raja Aragani from Public Communications.
I'm Jane Lessons of the Parliamentary Liaison Office for the Law Society.
Who's your dialogue? Coming to the session.
I'm Zvi Melton from EWC.
I'm Wendy Martin from the UK.
I'm Zvi from the
UK. Mele Lengem from Parliament Legal Services.
Susan Williams, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning, Equator, Legal and Record Office.
Lady, you have just entered the room. Can you please introduce yourself before we continue?
Good morning, I'm Asim from Uganda.
Thank you. Okay, come to this microphone. Okay, Mr. President, maybe you take us to your proposal to move on.
Thank you, Chair. I wasn't at the last meeting, but what we have submitted to a committee is not three of the legal directors spoke. There were two documents, and the second document is a list or an audit, if you want to call it that, of provisions in the bill that deal with rules and regulations. Draft three of the bill gives effect to the deliberations of this committee, I think, on the 14th, 13th and 15th of August. There were a few proposals for options to be built in. So those are in draft three. So draft three is a comprehensive reflection of all the committee's deliberations since the committee really started deliberating and requesting amendments to be prepared. So it has all the history of this committee's deliberations, and hopefully the detail is also contained in the booklet. Chair, we're in your hands as to how you want to deal with it. We can start with that document, with draft three, or we can first we can start with draft three right at the beginning and go through the draft from beginning to end, or the committee might want to have a look at the proposals emanating from the last meeting of this committee on the 13th and 14th of August. We are in your hands. And as you said, Chair, we do have somebody from the Office of the CFO, Ms. Cherise Fryer. She is available today and may be during the course of the day. the committee could accommodate her to do a presentation on the costing of the omelet and the transitional council.
I think, Honourable Rupert, it's a proposal from the chair. That will be with draft number 3. And then, before we attend to we give an opportunity to Mr. Sheriff and Sherry an opportunity to talk to the contribution. Are we agreed? Any comment on that?
Chairperson? I'm sorry. We have a request from the department. To let the costing results to tea, consultation of members of the committee. Is that possible at all? There's just one aspect if you want to just dot the T's and the I's. If you accommodate that, that's very important. Actually, that's in order. If we could stop and draw key from the loop, though, I think because we've got a new member here and it might be helpful to him that we start from the newest draft. So I support your recommendation to start with draft teacher.
Right, we are agreed. We are agreed there. Mr. Shepherd or Ms. Lowe?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to hand over to Ms. Lowe. We would just need guidance on how you would like us to deal with draft 3. Do you want to go through all the options and proposed amendments that were included in draft 1 and draft 2? Do we go through everything, or should we confine ourselves to the latest amendments? I get a sense, Minister Swart is saying that we must do everything so that the new members can also come on board.
No, we don't want to spend too much time, Jane, but I do think that we should try to highlight the more salient issues, not necessarily going through every possible thing.
Yes, I think it's fine just to highlight the most important ones, but not the details, and then the day after focus on the Thank you very much. Then let us proceed.
Thank you, Chair. In draft number 3, which inserted the changes as made on 13 and 15 August, we indicated deletions with a double strike through, and then in that funny font, new insertions. It was just for clarity, so that we did it that way, for ease of reference. There wasn't so many changes at that stage. The first one was in clause 6, 1T, page 13, and that emanated from the discussion of the rules and regulations. It was decided that paragraph must be deleted.
Getting into the political, and I think we need to deal with the big issue. I think we if I understand, we are prepared after the last meeting, certain fellow amendments informed by the guidance we got from the committee. But when we introduce amendments, there are still some other aspects which were left and which the content is it was for us that the best approach would be to look at all the key issues which reflect from the long term objective on here. And then at the same time we would amend on that. So that we don't have to come and do the underlining and go back to the beginning and do the flex. So I think we can fit into the system to them both. We can look at what from this chapter, what are the issues in the way, come discuss them and come with a proposed amendment. After what are the big issues, the committee positions on them, then we indicate changes in the sort of chapter. We feel that way. I think we know that we are moving on that one, and the only thing that will be remaining after we've done it is that exercise. We will look for the committee to clean up the time. Otherwise, if we look at our changes, we will be in page 100, when there are issues which the committee reflect in section 3 or 5. So I think we'll be there by ourselves, so we can discuss them both through this process.
Right, that sounds fair. Are we all agree on the approach to the experience of the
by rationalization and
perhaps is a better word, but by rationalization, I mean moving in line with Schedule 16.6 of the Constitution, which asks that the courts, that their jurisdiction be brought in line with the new constitutional order. That's the thing that we've just done with the Superior Court and the 17th Constitution. We could also refer to unitary state and the fact that we are addressing the fragmentation caused by laws still on the statute book which predate the constitutional order. Because now we are rationalizing, we're taking all those contraband laws that govern the profession away, repealing them. We're repealing the pre-constitutional laws governing the two professions, and we are reorganizing the body of the profession. So I think rationalization is a good word to use. What does restructuring mean? What should it mean? It should mean to separate the regulatory functions of the professional bodies from their representative functions. And this is going to be one of the real achievements of this law. In doing this, it wasn't in the bill as it was first tabled and born. It follows Clemente, it follows England, it follows every other comparable jurisdiction. It will be the real achievement. People must regulate in the public interest. Their representative functions, as in the Bar Councils and elsewhere, are in their own interest. We can't have bodies created to serve the own interest of the profession, also regulating interest. But I think the long title should say that the purpose of the bill is to rationalize the legal profession and to restructure them. And then to provide for the establishment of a single legal practice council. But I think the purpose of that legal practice council should be to provide access to justice and affordable legal services. And the way in which the LPC will do that is by doing the two inquiries which we are now in process of writing. The one, the economic inquiry into legal costs and the broad economics of the profession, and the other inquiry into new forms of legal practice. That is really the real justification for taking one legal practice. I don't see, and my party formally takes that position, I don't see why two professions should not each have their own chamber or their own committee to regulate their own professional matters that is their rules. So those are my two suggestions for the wrong title. They underline the entire rationale and justification for the bill, and that's why I think this is the right moment to mention them. I think the bill is about rationalization and restructuring, and the creation of the legal practice bill is to make access to justice a reality and to address the unaffordability of legal services. And if you're interested, I'll give you something on paper.
Maybe before we proceed, I'll help you and give other members to comment. And is your the crux of your comment concerned? Or also dealing with the question of the two chamber. So why I'm asking you because I think we had a day in which we addressed the Justice Committee at length insofar as this is concerned. And I don't want to, so that we must again raise the issues where we, I think to an extent, we it was very clear that we were having opposing views insofar as this is concerned. And those other areas which we agreed to differ, I think maybe we should have a how are we going to deal with that so as to move forward, because if we keep on deliberating on that, where is it for us that we have to do that? I think we should elevate to the same time for the debate. But I've seen Honorable this one.
To the debate we've already had on the two chambers, and we've already stated as one of the flagged issues. So maybe at this stage we could just get that in writing and just put it in as an option. Considering I thought it was useful, because even if one doesn't necessarily go the two chamber model one, there's still merit in what she said about the wording to be used in the long title. Remember, the long title is meant to introduce in what the book is about, with an emphasis on the issues of restructuring and rationalization. So maybe we can look at that. This is the first time I've heard of that. And then, Chair, just on the second part of your submission, where we spoke about the chamber model. Remember, I had the alternate chamber model that we were still considering, and that was at the regional level. And I think that is something that I'm sure we'll get to when we get to that as well. So thank you for that indulgence, Chair.
Having been part of this process, this is also my maiden speech. I thought that when we talk about rationalization and research, we're talking about both.
Thank you, Chief. I'm actually thinking that if we think in terms of restructuring, rationalization and restructuring, it do really actually give proper meaning to the intention of the bill. And then Honorable Mr. High School indicated that we, instead of rationalization, let's rather stick to transformation. Because we actually look at, if we place rationalization, we can look at a situation where you don't regard it, not a problem, and then just rationalize for whatever reason, could be maybe it's too big, don't you want to bring it down, let's forget it, it's not enough. But when you look at the fact that we had a system that was not actually a system that was based on fairness, and we want to actually change it, I think transformation would then therefore be the right way to use. And Honorable Smart, continues to indicate that maybe we should actually indicate that the purpose should be to promote access to justice and affordable legal service, which is true. But I think what is missing in what you're saying is that we don't actually then talk about transformation within the legal profession in that purpose that you're actually addressing. We could promote a good environment that creates that would lead to access to justice and maybe affordable legal services. That's what we are actually trying to get here. So we need to actually look at the situation of lawyers too. And of course the issue of two chambers we can flag for a while supporting this out.
So, Chair, maybe someone said that she would give us some wording. Maybe we should have a look at that. I see restructuring is already in the long title.
Thank you. which was one of the really bad things about the book, in order to see its incarnation. We bought a full structure that about households were continuing to perish. The elder was a campus in the Christian, so I think it will come in here. But I think these things should be seen. We see what the regulation, particularly from the interest, from representation, which is in the own interest of the nation, they could say it.
Yeah, but let us have progress. So I think we look at the your recent submission there.
That the recent submission at this stage calls up that because if the submission is going to be an elaboration of rationalization and research, which will be sent through, then there's no purpose in making that submission.
With respect, I tend to think Dr. Mosefa is right, and that's why I'm really sorry about that. But especially if you tell me that you've made it quite clear, actually, from the chair, that there's no way you're going to support the committee of the two-chamber system, then I can tell you now that we will not be supporting them. And I'm really, really sorry about that, because it's a fundamental thing. You are not fusing the professions. You are not fusing the professions. If you're not fusing them, there are two professions. On what justification do you not allow each profession to write its own code of ethics? You can't. And then I can tell you now that I will be opposing this law. And I don't like to work like that in justice with you. That's how I'm going to do it. But I am very much going to take my time. It's a very crucial thing to write proposals. If I have the bones here, then I have to. What does transfer measure mean? What have you done in response to its transformation? You haven't. It's not what it's about. It's not what the bill is about. But it's raised there, and it's not.
Let us move forward. Let us move forward. I wonder whether we should say maybe we should also have a strange way to find each other. But let us move forward.
In the preamble, there was alternative option inserted, and that was addressed to the committee. That still has to be considered by the committee. It reads, opportunities for entry into the legal profession are restricted in terms of the current legislative framework.
Yes, I said we should not adjourn. Anybody who feels like going out to grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and whatever is outside, be free to do so.
Actually, just to get clarity then on the way forward as we go here, when we go back to our offices and do the rebuffing, we will just put straight through the two bullets before that and just affirm our way of the note that the committee's decided on the alternative. I think that's the way we'll deal with it. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. I agree with the honourable member. Yes.
The same. was deleted at the committee discussion of the committee. It wasn't in the well, as introduced, and then we did an option of task force to really stipulate it, so the committee will have to decide how it should be changed. Should it read the way alternative option reads, or as introduced?
Developed norms and standards. The question is, should it be developed or should it be determined?
said with respect to Kant. I mean, that's exactly where it gets so dangerous. Oh, we put in these broad things, then we create the council, and then we are a bit too professional, like each going to be able to look after themselves. That's exactly the same thing. Which is why I think it should be written into law, it should be written into constitutions. But there are
again, I subject to what was just said, a particular issue here. I think we were in broad agreement about the May and March decisions. We don't have to go to each one there. There's alternative options and improvement on the previous, as tabulated in the table. So that does make some interesting observations, and I ask it to try to consider that as we go along. It does indicate that there might be some opportunity where we could find each other as an opposition and majority party when it comes to dealing with the implications of all. But thank you, Chair. But just in general, I think we don't have to go through each one of the issues as well. I think we're in broad agreement with the mayors and the masses. Thank you, Chair.
I think it's quite clear that the officials are quite alive to the fact that we do not distinguish between the discretionary powers and military powers. And therefore, we shouldn't go into the details which are made that we have been government transition. But I think we need to take a fairly position on the development. I just said that development has been played by its chairman, and that chairman has been played by Monta. To me, that's just someone who has a certain interest in this, because who developed the monitor fund? And then you can't just monitor them. If you monitor them, you need to shift the responsibility to someone. And someone in the system, maybe it's an interested fund, that fits the purpose of the transformation that we seek to achieve.
Our last comment is for drafting the statute. I think what we may have to do, we may categorize the may one first, then the map, so that we don't have to make a change. We may just say cancel may and then make donation, institute whatever, cancel map, and you need the map for them. Otherwise, they really become a choice in the LP because of when they put the stretch.
I would also agree with the chair that
addressing things like who will publish the reviews, who will publish the advocate, it's not what we should be dealing with here.
I think if we let us move forward.
Thank you, Jim. So 6.5 on page 14 provides the council with regard to education in law and legal practice generally, and then in paragraph B there was an insertion that it would read now, may advise the council on higher education established in terms of higher education as regarding matters relevant to education in law, including the desirability of including the NLE curriculum, a form of community service to be undertaken by all law students.
May advise counsel
of on higher education substitutes of higher education as well as having better current education in law, including the values of inclusion in the Arabic program is for more complicated than the taking of our law.
Okay, so the including the development of using the LSD curriculum of the new service to the American diagnostic protocol. Okay, this is the issue which must be determined by the committee. Okay,
excuse me for my
I think that when we draft this, we should try to avoid the bureaucratization of what is going to be. Because we have a curriculum that must apply to another curriculum on the desirability of including coincidence. Isn't it obvious that when we train people, we give them theory and practice, and the law should mandate, make it mandatory that law graduates must get theory and do community service because we have too many lawyers who have certificates but they can't do anything there in court or elsewhere. I don't understand why this bureaucratization. Maybe because I don't have the background, I'll have to read all the other things.
Thank you, Chair. I can take it back just a bit of history of that inclusion, Chair. In July, Ms. Rupram reported back on a panel discussion that she was at relating to community service by law students at university. And it was there that the people that were presenting, and maybe Ms. Rupram can help me with details, were saying how important it is that law students while they're at university, the importance of doing, of having a part of the curriculum, a community service component, because not all universities do that. And although this body is about legal practitioners and not about legal or law students, we were asked just to try and find a spot in law where we can, it's more of an encouragement to encourage universities that don't have that component in their curriculum to try and get all universities in the country to do something about it because of the value that it adds to the curriculum of law students. So as I said, this point is about law students. If you have a look at footnote 65, the question was raised whether the provision could not be included somewhere in the board in terms of which the sentiment that all universities should encourage community service finds expression. So it really is a clause to urge and encourage this where the law isn't about it. It might be a bit out of place. Maybe the law guidance could help us there to say the law is about the legal profession, not about the law students.
And then the
Rob C provides for the three persons nominated by the minister, and then there's reference to subclause 3, and subclause 3 is on page 17, and that is an insertion similar to the ICASA Act on who may not be designated by the minister.
Thank you. may not be in because I'm helping him in and out because of the ad hoc committee on the appointment report. But I'm just a little bit worried I just want to say that when you talk about SPC in competition law, you have to remember that the rural provinces might not necessarily have that type of thing because of the
any comments from Honourable Member?
The next clause is clause 9 on page 18. Chairperson and deputy chairperson of the council. The bill as introduced provided for specific things that was deleted at the request of the committee, and then there is an alternative that inserted the position that if the chairperson is elected and appointed from the ranks of the attorney, the deputy chairperson must be from the ranks of the advocate and vice versa.
Because
taking their body, that has to take a decision, or if the referee is already in council, then the referee is, and the referee is performing very well, if the council should consider it, the readiness of the person to proceed or not. Well, what is the position in the current position where you find the LFA has the constituent bodies? The LFA, Nadel, and who take the admin decision either to have the person removed from participating in the LFA in the company?
the current position is that the members that are nominated and supported to the institution serve at the pleasure of the body from which they were nominated. And it's not unusual that members are recalled during the term on expired quarters holding by somebody else. So the nominating body, be it the provincial societies, and the LPA, make those nominations. But also to deal with the issue that has been raised by Arnold Machekha, if members would just go to the alternative to paragraph D on page 3, then you'll see that under small d, this issue was debated previously, and for that reason, we're putting that the body that requests a particular member to be withdrawn can only do so once there is confirmation by the Office of the Ombud. And the reason for that was precisely to avoid that situation that one of the talks to, where you have a body that nominates a person who is unstable at some stage for whatever reason. And perhaps the example was used. What if the person that is being nominated to sit on the council is quite bold in terms of his or her positions and doesn't find favour with the select members of the constituent body? What happens? And the analogy was one that they could literally remove the member, and precisely the committee later then said that that shouldn't be allowed. And in the instance that it is, the safeguard must be to add in some contribution from the Office of the Ombuds. So the current Office of the Guards talks to that. And I hope of that.
in the interest of the social development. So I think we need to protect both. So this safeguard that I put in the future that the company as a whole.
Thank you. I think the point has been clearly articulated. Maybe what is this really important, I think, because also as provisions, in case maybe there could be misconduct. There's provision for how to use the somebody who has to show you. So for now, it will just be able to show you the reasons that are outside of the meeting. Which of course, like you said, can be articulated, may not only be the one who is just, but the public also. So, let's say it. Thank you.
mentioned that whether we need the progression in the country itself to play the rules of the finish.
Chair, I appreciate we have had lengthy discussions about this, and if we put section 94 and 95, we considered regulations by the Senate and rules by the Council that will be published in this book. Now, the main philosophical argument here is the independence of the profession and the independence of the judiciary.
Council is appointed by the minister, and then
there was an alternative option that was inserted to advise that if a minister loses confidence in the council, the minister must ask the council's reasons and then ask the ombud to conduct an investigation and then after seeing the ombud's recommendation to the minister, they approach the High Court with an application for an order to dissolve. So it's a long process, but these two options still stand in the field.
Yes, also, it's a question which we've passed at the bank.
Thank you. was to deal with the challenge in travel. I can't see any person who would be better placed than the minister. So we shouldn't approach this matter as if the challenge is within us that have been solved. They haven't been solved. That's why we are there. White grouping, black grouping, black white grouping, so I think we must give the minister the powers. Maybe what we could look at is whether the minister should approach the court or whether the minister should decide and in 14 days or so pass to Parliament so that Parliament has a say in what the minister has done. But we can't take these powers away from the minister because we are still there trying to construct society.
It seems we are reopening the debate on this issue now. I don't know if that is what is intended, or whether we're going to flag the issues in this. We spent a lot of discussion on this part, on this section. We in ADDP are totally opposed to it for the reasons we gave at the previous meeting. But again, just to highlight that when one looks at the composition of the council, they are represented by the transformative elements of Black World Association. They are part of the organization, 50% of the representatives, the company attorneys, the company members. That is in all the submissions. But it is that representativity of the state of the body that is obviously there. Our concern was that the minister, when you look at the aim of the legislation, if the minister subjectively believes that those aims, in his view, or for a political purpose, are not being fulfilled, nothing to do with the functionality of the council. It might be pushing very well, but the minister, in his view, might say the transformation has not been achieved quick enough, notwithstanding the representation of his new members on the council, notwithstanding the representativity of the Black World Forces, of NADAP, of advocates for transformation. He might politically decide that he wants to dissolve this council. And that is our concern, because that goes to the heart of the independence of the legal profession. This is not to equate with the LNDC board. This is, I think, very, very significant, because it's independent of the legal profession. So, Chair, I'm just repeating what I said on the record, because it seems we are just reopening the issue. So, again, this is an issue we need to flag.
Thank you.
for inside the interest of society. So we must balance the interest of society and the interest of the professional.
And that's for that very reason, we've got two ministerial representatives from the council that are looking at the public interest. So just bear in mind, this clause came at a very late stage as well. A very late stage. Remember, this was never in the 10 years of negotiations. It came at a very late stage. And I think all the previous submission were concerned about, even from the advantage, the transformative Nadal BIA. Mechanism that should put in place. So in other words,
the past continues to affect us in the process that we are involved in. And that's why the potential for dysfunctionality will exist sometimes. And it is for that reason that you can't, in the name of free association or in the name of independence of the profession, remove the minister of the profession. I think the minister is a better and a guarantee of the interest of society.
I think when we start at a point of departure, when you look and we are coming from a situation where we are bigger, it cannot be like it was before. And then there is a now being, which is trying to change the situation as it was. And also, we also have got the constitution, which is a committee in which to say, now dealing with the legal profession, it must sort of be tried to be, I don't want to say transformed or constructed or changed, like, but it should be created to such a way that it talks to what it is today. Now, when I said we need to agree to say, as we have been approaching it different, but we must visualize to say at a certain point in future, our minds should come together. Because if we got two strong opposing views, some saying we need to change this situation and other people, they're not changing, and then therefore you will not be making any progress. Let us hope to say all that has been done, it will be done in a way in which everyone has a kind of interpretation to say yes, it was necessary to approach this legal profession the way it has been done, and then also to say what are the smart talking about mechanisms. What are mechanisms that can need to be implemented to achieve what is to be achieved, what is in terms of it.
Yeah, I think you are right. I think we can easily agree on these things if we agree that we can't formulate the bill as if we are operating from space. We must take into account the social realities. You know, there are young people that I know holding masters in law who cannot get articles of production. And you
want
ask what you want.
Want
to?
Want one?
No. I never used color. I said there are many young people who want to receive articles. They can't get articles. When you try to find out from those that we all speak to, the third criteria is, have you qualified Perth or Cape Town or University of Natal? That's the first criteria. Or UCT. Now, it means there is still some discrimination based on access, because those universities cannot be accessed by ordinary people from the rural areas. Now, I'm just saying that let's agree that we formulate this, taking into account the social reality that is there.
Everything the doctor just said proves what I said when I spoke on wrong platform. The law purports now to be transformed. It purports to de-rationalize. It does nothing of the sort. It really doesn't. The only thing it does here and there is to say the thing must be also represented, and it's going to happen, the mechanisms are unworkable in the case. This is not
de-rationalizing bill. It's not the right one. You might get to try it. You won't succeed. But perhaps Dr. Matano wants to look at the statistics. If you will go through all the submissions from the attorneys in particular, the statistics about numbers of black, white, male, female, Indian, colored, currently in the university, there's a little historical perspective. You know, and I know perfectly well, Tamman, that things have changed. We are making progress. As in every other sector in South Africa, as upon the bench, we are making progress. But the way you achieve non-racialism, not like getting a new practice council. Come on. You're no one in the functions of the legal brand. How would you do it anyway? That's not the point. That really is not the point. So I respect the deep, deep desire to see non-racialism in the legal profession. I share that. I share it. That is not what the bill is about or what it can be about. So the sooner we can focus on what legal practice reform in every other jurisdiction has been about, what has it been about everywhere else? It's been about the economic aspect of legal practice. The legal practice is frequently burdened by a certain antiquated aspect to its rules. And one must make sure that the legal services market and the legal services meet it. And then we'll have happier lawyers and we'll have happier South Africans. That's what the bill is about. But if your only concern is race, because that's what the concern is. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. We've already made progress. We're going to make more progress as the rest of South Africa has. It's not perfect at this point. So what do you want to do with that?
We're talking about the interest of profession and the interest of society. So, and we're saying, let's follow the interest of society and the interest of profession. So what about that?
Because
say we have not had to be heated or advice or handled.
Yes, or amazing comment on the quote from Honorable Shuttleston. So indeed, we want to actually make the point that legal services in South Africa becomes affordable. Not access to justice. But also taking consideration that the legal profession itself, entry to the legal profession, let's open it up so that we can have even more and more South Africans that make it to be more representative, participating. So that you know the legal profession should not be seen as a profession that actually represents the one sector of the South African society. And I'm sure as we continue with also the potential for the question about the future to remember. And all of that, it seems that we need to look at, because remember when we discussed also the death clauses of the cost of the budget, we saw the legal profession as so much remote from the people of North Africa. And the fact that they need to actually be in the position to understand the people of South Africa in order for them to be in the position to properly represent them legally. I don't know. My head was not up, but you can always say something.
That is my apology. I thought your head was up. It
was an honor to be put here. No, I think that the comments that were made are useful. It would be useful to engage those students that aren't able, or those qualified students that aren't able to go.
And get communicated because we'll never have a word. I know
they're being interviewed, you find that they don't impress you today. The system is now moving during the current year. I can make one example. Please don't comment about this. The president who is being Thursday FC Senior Council, who is being asked since 1994, when you were taking even from the government, have you thought of taking a junior person to be your whenever given one? And then the person will say no. And then you'll be asked, but we'll understand if you didn't do it before 1994. But now, after 1994, what was preventing you from doing that? And then the person will find that he is unable to say, why did I stick to the way in which I was operating before 1994? You see? But the fact of the matter, some of them have come and say, you know, since 1994, because we are now living in South Africa, I have changed for how I was operating before. I have got some junior partner with me and the like. Some of them also even say, even apart from my normal work as a senior counselor, I've also looked and say, this is the society I want to contribute to change. And then those people, they impress the ASA. They impress the ASA, and then they get recommended. And they are very afraid because, you know, you say, if we put you there on the bench, and when you say you are independent, dispensing justice without fear or favor, will you be the person who will have in your mind to say, I've got a duty to operate not like before 1994, but like after 1994? And then that person impresses members of the JSC. We will go on a secret ballot. On a secret ballot, and you find that a person gets there. The most of the votes, despite the fact that the person is from the other place. I ask not anybody to comment on that. I'm honest, I won't mislead you. I won't.
Mm-hmm. I want to direct your general comment, yes. But I remember the one candidate in particular who had done so much work with his dad juniors, and he was at the teacher, all of you, and he was appointed in party. And yeah. I would just like to say that when we take legal action, we specifically brief so that there's a preferably black and female junior council acting for us. We do have one too.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a campaign
strategy. We all have a duty to give the ANS a mic.
That's what I'm not really criticizing.
Can we? Well, I was asked that after tea time we should have, come again, after lunch, not tea time, after lunch. So shall we try to move? We still have something like more than 30 minutes with your permission.
What's
Professor?
Just question, for what is worth, this idea of young law graduates repeating articles is a part of a very huge problem in our country. A lot of young people, engineers, teachers, what have you, don't get jobs. So let me call it very interesting. One day, in our airport, there were two young men who were supposed to be very knowing. He got a B.Ed. for communication. So I said, what are you doing here? He is a freelance tourist. It's a huge problem, which you must look at as a country. Duty to balance the interests of society and the profession.
can see how far can we move in the last time.
Yeah. I wonder whether the committee would not in some way be able to call the head of the SACICA, because he is managing the allocation of funds to the legal profession and other entities within that chamber. Because the whole issue of managers, as I'm aware, is not utilized fully. And in fact, whilst there is some money dedicated to candidate returns, the system of worthless hands and monitoring seems to be a hindrance to all of their processes. Although there is a seal of levy that is maintained by all law firms, I suspect that there's a disjunct between the application of the managers to the beneficiary being the law graduates, because ideally, if the system worked, law firms would be able, and we're talking about the majority of single firm practitioners in the country, those law firms would say, we would need to take on the article talks, but we are selling this financially. And I wonder in the deliberation of the committee, it must be helpful to better understand why the system does not work. But somebody from the CETA to at least address this committee and fully explain how does it work, what does it mean, because we're even talking about finding a way in which pupils can benefit from this process. And there seems to be a disjunct. I must say that I wrote to the head of SACICA, the current incumbent, with no response to my inquiry on this. I think she, so, you know, it's something that I ask the committee to consider and just to assist it in its deliberation to get an understanding.
Just take a decision, because you can see this problem of the law service is becoming a real problem, but it is already a problem. We call them and send out, because they need to aid into the problem. So let them come here and tell us what are they doing.
I want to attend the meeting. Discussions, can we discuss it, or do we need people so that we need to break now?
We in your hands.
Let me demonstrate what is the feeling of the house.
You
broom the street clean.
Thank you, Chair. I think the next clause that we've moved to, that we need to speak about is in clause 18, dealing with committee of council. This has already been touched on. There's an alternative option. You'll see it on page 23 of the new clause, proposed sub-clause 4. And this goes back to the discussion about two chambers. I want to add that this one for attorneys. Although this isn't a two chamber as such, there was a proposal and we as a department were asked to prepare an option. And the option provides, let me try to summarize it, the council must establish standing committees, two standing committees for the duration of the council to exercise their powers and functions, various powers and functions. And the one council and standing committee would be consisting of the attorneys referred to in the council, and another one, a standing committee consisting of advocates. And the idea here is that these standing committees can then deal with issues relating purely to attorneys, and the other one will deal with issues relating purely to advocates. The decisions of the standing committees must be implemented by the council, except when the council with the supporting vote of at least two-thirds of its members decides otherwise, the council's alternative decisions and recommendations on the matters in question are approved by the ombuds, in which event alternative decisions and recommendations must be implemented. This is a variation and creates the opportunity to have committees to deal with the issues relating either to the advocates or the attorney's profession. I think we have discussed this option. I remember, I recall discussing this option in
kids who act as a parent. So there seems to be confusion there. So this formulation, for me, doesn't seem to take into account the reality of the situation on the ground.
Okay.
Dr. Mishra,
I
have
suggesting that there are no longer two professions, or that the dividing line between the two is blurring, that I reject that position. The lack of appearance in court of attorneys has passed wisdom law in what, long time ago, 1996, long, long time ago. It certainly doesn't mean that the attorney's profession doesn't, it is separate, it means they can appear in court. As for the relaxation of the referral rule, which we are dealing with in this bill, in which I support. Once again, it does not imply that the advocate profession does not exist absolutely separately. As Judge Edwin Cameron said in 1999, in the Supreme Court of Appeal, the referral rule is not essential for a split profession and for a referral profession. So, I don't buy your argument, and it is because there are still two professions, and because this bill does not bring that situation to an end, that you absolutely have to have, in my preference, two chambers. This is an alternative created to make the softer option of two committees. And the subsection A and B I find very pleasing. The subsection C I reject out of hand. It's a veto provision. It is certainly not for the Legal Practice Council to implement the provisions of these committees on matters related exclusively to each profession. It is for each profession to implement, for example, the code. The reason why one creates the separate committees is because they, so that they can decide on the separate issues. And then it's not for the LPC to implement them, emphatically not for the LPC to vote on them and effectively to veto, because you've got 10 attorneys sitting there and 6 advocates. So it's the poor advocates chamber or committee. Now, having taken a decision on its own ethical code of conduct, but nothing that conduct goes up to the big LPC for approval and implementation. And I was simply outvoted. How can you possibly contemplate having attorneys outvoting the advocate on their own code of conduct? It's a different matter if the rules or codes of conduct come under consideration when you're doing your economic inquiry. I'm the first to say, when you do your economic inquiry, you see if the rules are actually having an anti-competitive effect. That's a different story. But you can't have an LPC with more attorneys than advocates sitting in judgment on the advocate's code of conduct. Sorry. These are self-regulating professions. They are self-regulating professions. They are independent. And therefore, you can't do that. I like very much, and thank you, subsections A and B. I don't find them acceptable.
I don't think that Honourable Member differs with me. She's trying to defend the position she took, that we are not dealing with the fusion. And now it means if we leave matters unresolved, then they come out as well as being decided. The fact that others talk about a unified profession, talk about a unified regulator, and so on. I just think that that failure to resolve that comes as well as being decided. I hope that the structures will have.
Just to remind us that we are not fusing the two professions, but we are having a statutory council that will regulate and be represented by the two separate bodies with their designated representatives, their ministerial representatives, etc., etc. So we're clearly keeping that separation between the two independents. And yes, there are attorneys like myself, I can appear in the High Court. Making provision for the independent advocates, and that is on the National Consultative Forum. International Forum of Advocates. And they are very pleased to have that they have a specific course on the traditional council, the National Council of Advocates Forum towards the legal council. So I think there's a lot of what Dr. Maseka suggests has already been contained in the bill itself, which is the little, again, useful comments for us to reconsider the truth that he raises, that teaching.
I guess you might come from the chair Lydia sector. You will know that in the country we have the independence of Kenya, also known as Ethiopians, which came into existence because they were running away from racism in the missionary church. Now, the fact that we have independent advocates, we shouldn't take it to say, no, it's the right of association. Those people are running away from something in their organized profession. And I think we must look into that better and solve it. They are present that process.
We're solving the referral law. We're relaxing the referral law.
So you accept that the refugees go to.
I just wanted to help Honorable Swan on the pronunciation of Dr. Moseka. It's not Moseka. Khan, like in African Khan school.
Do you want to comment? I think the honourable members they commented on the question raised by Honourable Moseka. I don't know whether you want to add something. She was asked. Okay. She was asked why.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just, Honourable Swart actually said what I wanted to say. Although I'm attorney standing here, we got a number from the registrar with the committee, and it's actually not many that make use of that provision. Remarkably few, actually. Yes, and furthermore, as the bill was amended, the bill has to be decided on that the applicants that do are allowed to get directly, it will only be for work that they are currently doing. So not the work that traditionally attorneys work, such as SIs, etc. It will still only be court work. So that will still, it will still be huge differences between the workings of the two professions.
That's where that registration was the task. I was one of the first people who applied for the right of audience. There was me appearing before the judge, and then because I had practiced for a long time before my experience, I ended up saying, "Your worship," correcting myself to say, "My Lord." And then I think the judge didn't take lightly what I addressed him as "Your worship." Okay. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Chair. The next clause that that has to be decided on is establishment of regional councils, clause 23 on page 26. There were several amendments to the bill as it was introduced, and the committee flagged this whole clause back
they did request, the committee did request certain options and insertions, but the whole issue is so flat. I don't know, Chair, should I go through the whole thoughts as it is, or should I get some guidance?
Thank you, Chair. This, and I see the insertion under sub 6 and sub 7 is as a result of my request that we look at this level, at the possibility of setting up committees that will deal exclusively with attorneys or advocates matters, particularly in view of the numbers, the large numbers of disciplinary areas, and that it is very unlikely that the National Council would be able to deal with that. Experience of the moment that attorneys and advocates deal with their own training, their own disciplinary action, and that this might be a possible way of a compromise position to set up a separate chamber at a regional level that will still operate under the National Statutory Legal Council. So I'm thankful for the insertion of paragraph 7, and that is a very broad clause that give the possibility of attorneys and advocates dealing with those issues. And just to remind us that the need for capacity, that at the moment the legal council meets four times a year, and most of the work will be done by these regional councils, and they then is where you've got your local attorneys association for your bar council. But again, under the overarching Legal Practice Council, that will be watching very closely what they do at the region. So, Chair, I'd ask us just to consider this as a possible compromise position. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I'll speak in support of this as well, but let me just say before that, I would like to suggest that 23.1 should read. The council is subject to subsection to establish regional councils in each province, and may delegate to the regional councils such powers and functions which in the interest of the legal profession are being performed at regional level. That is a may. But then add at the end, but must delegate the investigation of complaints and disciplinary proceedings. And I argued last time that if the Law Society of the Northern Provinces alone takes some sort of complaints per annum, and if you multiply that convenience just by the four old statutory law societies, so that's 30,000 complaints a year. I absolutely do not see legal practice stumble within 4 times a year, or its staff sitting on 30, 40, 50,000 complaints a year. So I think that we should say that the council must delegate the investigation of complaints and the disciplinary proceedings to the regional council. I also don't think that we should have only 3 or 4. Now, we may have to say, as 2A does, that the council must establish at least 3 or 4 regional councils. We all know why 3 or 4 are being stipulated. It's because the infrastructure of the existing statutory law societies is going to be used as the basis. But I think the goal must be to have one each province, one regional council in each province, and at the seat of the High Court would be only logical. So, although we may have to say that it must establish at least 3 or 4 regional councils at the commencement of the statute, I think that we should say that eventually there should be one per province, and as in Rome 2, the location of the seat of the division of the High Court should guide to the beat of the East Council.
Establish regional councils which may be 3 or 4
some of the judicial committee may not have to be established immediately, but there's the position for the but also the fact that the overall level of jurisdiction is actually what justifies the rationalization of the regulation that we're talking about, that countries should also seek to bring structure in line with the spheres of government. The three I'm saying that, you know, for instance, if you think of this, this question of finding that the police is chasing a criminal and then he has to stop somewhere because it's somebody is restricted. Those kinds of things are inherited from the past. I'm saying that under rationalization and restructure, you should look at the structure of the jurisdiction that are present. But I think that this peaceful thing of saying it's starting to play a false encounter and somebody sitting in Victoria goes inside for somebody in Main Street, I don't think it should work that way. I think let's provide for my provincial council and then establish your own state depending on the situation with the residents.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of the challenges for this exercise would be exactly where the funding for these structures comes from. The other issue that we debated is the professional idea and interpretation of the regional policy in terms of numbers. Is it a duplication of the same numbers that exists in the National Council? What a costing exercise of the Council provides. And the deliberations to date touched on the aspect that an even fund is admissions from the federal funds. But the current structure, which is the consolidation of provinces, you know, loss of certain other provinces, four provinces into one, Table Society, one page, the Western Cape. When you've got the Free State, which is the smallest, it has its own council, which could quite convenient to put into another province. And with the current setup, there are challenges, and the fund has addressed the committee on the inability to maintain the current structure. But the need for the profession to be mindful of the fact that going forward, it has to be Google, it must exercise the profession, requirements of the fund, and my concern then is if you entrench, it must be. It places an automatic entrenched position of the profession to fail the access we must have of the every problem that therefore we went to, and you have a fantastic fund that listens to us because we could take it upon us. So I'm not certain that that is a responsible way of doing it. I think that what we've recognized that and what we say is there should be at least be three or four, so that we've created a provision that there should be more in the best provinces. But Mr. Susana has alluded to the fact that perhaps the costing exercises is best placed by the fund and the consultative the forum to trash this out and make recommendations, because it's a hard issue that the person has to deal with, because what we know is that this cannot continue as usual. It can't, financially it can't. It's not possible because the funds are not there. So I cannot understand how we would entrench a financial model that is in excess of what currently exists and which is seriously balanced by the public fund. And I ask the committee to consider that in the discussions. Thank you.
telling you, Pretoria, Johannesburg, and Cape Town. And that's why I believe that it's called.
hopefully allowed to do that in future. Let me start.
Today, but also tomorrow.
What?
use that 2 years.
So is Charles today or Charles?
No, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow. And they've apparently got a whole lot of procedures still going through, but
you know, I mean really. Yeah.